but I do want to preclude this with, I'm no Ron Scott as far as experience goes. I'm certainly no Harry Cobb or Danny Abercrombie. But I will tell you a white blind boy's experience on one trip. And before you ask, I'll go ahead and admit to it. Yes, I'll be glad to go back. I've been asked to go back by at least three people. Am I anything? Am I anybody? I'm one of them 490 times a dayers. You know, I thought that was a wonderful lesson. Been there, done that, Ron. I was right there with you on that. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God, and He's asked me to obey His will and touch His blood with my faith. And that faith is not given to me. It is built on the Word of God, and I'm to do it. Somebody will say, you can't do nothing. Yes, you can. I'm nobody, but I love the Lord. That's all my daddy ever done in front of me was talk about the Bible and preach. We left on a Monday, I believe it was. And I do well to sleep in bed. I'm going to talk about myself, but I'm also going to talk about how sorry I am, and we'll compare it. I can't sleep in a bed, much less an airplane. So we got on the plane in Atlanta, and we went 15 and a half hours to Johannesburg. Now, the continent of Africa has a southern portion, but there is a country in the bottom of it called South Africa. So the country itself is where Johannesburg is, and it's a beautiful airport. It puts some hours to shame. It's got a shopping mall. There's a lot of affluent people that lives in that particular country. Large, I'm going to say, this is yes, this is no. English influence, Ron says yes. From there, we're supposed to go to the Blantyre, but Dorothy, that's not Kansas anymore. So the plane we was on was probably 777, something like that. It's three seats in the middle and two on each side. And it was had nearly 300 people on it. So that Blantyre was going under some repairs. And when you need to fly somebody else first, probably before you go there, just to get used to flying if you've never flown. But I had flown before, so it was not my first rodeo with that. So we couldn't land at Blantyre because the plane was probably too big. Because even sometimes when the runway is in order, they'll try it, and then if they don't hit it just right, they'll have to take back off and come back in and land again. It's about a bad airport, but it's not big. So we went to the north of there, to Lilongwe, which is an international airport. But have you been to the long one? It looks like, would you say a barn, a large concrete barn? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Picture a large concrete barn. Now that you know, you need to see a picture of it, and you say, well, it had places to shop, barely. So we were thankful to be there, and we called Winston. You know, thank God for cell phones. And I can't imagine doing what Dr. David Livingston did, and going by ship, going down to Cape Town and walking thousands of miles. This is beyond my imagination. But anyway, we made the trek from Lilongwe to Blantyre on pavement. That was like a washboard. And when you do go through dirt roads, Dorothy, it's not Kansas. It's Africa. And those roads are washed. And sometimes it's go boom, 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 boom. And you're thinking, man, slow down, you're killing me. How far?
About 2 miles.
Sometimes. Yeah. They drive like maniacs over there. Would you describe the traffic for them? Why they, you probably didn't better than I can because you've driven there.
Walmart at Christmas.
Worse. They'll be like this, and then one will get just stick a nose out like that right there. And you know, those old Mazda vans are beat to death. That is their get about. Probably cost us cents. Anyway, we finally got to Blantyre. We were completely out, no rest. Dana, he'd be sitting back there going, I believe he could sleep in a cannon fire. But anyway, let me clip that. he worked hard. He did a great job. He preached extremely well. He answered some questions that was tough, and we tagged him in the back. And said, Where's the verse? Someone said, "Oh yeah, that's what it means." We had their breakfast when we got up, and you learn quick to tell them what you want to eat because they just, some of it, it's, you don't like the taste of it, even though it's good, nutritious, clean food. You can get water by the bottle. Do not drink the local water, even though they'll say, "It's clean, it's okay." No, no. Like old Skull with the water hose said, "Don't do it, you'll be sorry." But you take your medicine, you take your shots, you take your malaria pills, and in your suitcase, you carry a wash tub full of that. And you think, I'll offend somebody, but you think, and you just do it.
They don't have toilet paper.
No. You'd be going down a path where somebody's been, you come back. Don't make eye contact, because you're going to get to it. And you learn in a hurry how to, so you think, Timmy, you're awful, but it goes sometimes. But anyway, getting to church. Picture the parking lot where you go. Trucks, cars, vans. As the one we was in was the only motor there of that size. The rest of them was a few motorcycles, bicycles, and a whole lot of those. How far would you walk to church? I'm going to make you feel guilty. Ron said it's all right because he's done it. How you like the bus tires, Ron? Well, how far would you walk to church? Literally.
With pieces of truck tire?
No, that's
like
not.
The bus he throw me under.
No, I don't think they do the bus tire there. I think that's Mexico.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, they were some people that had, they probably did it by bus and by foot. If you look at the country, Blantyre would be here. The long way was here. Lake Malawi is here, and Mozambique goes around it. There were some of these people in this area of Mozambique had walked part of the way and ridden part of the way to church for 2 days just to hear one sermon. The locals, you go down the washboard highways, there's all kinds of people walking up and down the road. You remember the old blue wash Walmart bags, the big ones? Well, picture little bitty ones. All over the way. That's the nastiest place I have ever seen in my put together. You go down a paved road to the center of what looks like just a normal town, and then when you get to the shoulders, it's dirt. Picture 1930, and your yard is swept. There's no lawnmowers. Did you see one? I didn't see the first. And I was told, now this may need an addendum later, but any grass that was cut was probably done by clipping. Is that true?
They've got sling blades.
They do. Well, they do have. But the point is, no gas and no whirligigs of cutting the grass. It's Nasima powered. So anyway, the church, how many would be there? 8, like where Danny goes? 25, like the average congregation in Randolph County? I'm going to tell you what I told them about America. And they'd be welcome to get your tomatoes out. But I'm nothing. I'm nobody. You could do the same thing. And you'd get the same experience because y'all got good hearts. But Timmy, I'll be the one under the bus. Timmy has complained in his days way, way, way too much. Because when I look and see that I have this, and Ron has all that, what do? I'm self-comparing. When they probably only have, this is metaphor, I do well to have one little piece. These are food, money. The food is bland. It's cooked outside over an open flame. The women in that society are, it's like the 1890s. 1900, 1920, the women are go to the field. Some men have jobs. The rest of them, I don't know if they go to the field or not. That's like a Ron can magnify this because he has more experience than me. But from what I saw, the women are walking everywhere. They don't have motorcycles, and they do well to get to side saddle a bicycle. They wear chitanzas around their dresses to give just a little bit of beauty because I think they're roller printed, and some of them are tribal representative. But beyond that, I don't know if it's just random or what. Anyway, that gives it a little beauty. These chitanzas also, you see them on the back with a baby in it, and they'll be in the field with a hoe with a handle about that long. No, it's not that long. And they'll be like that, and they'll be a baby on their back. They had use it for other things. And when the women go to church, and it's a brush arbor outside, they're like this right here. Or if they have a bench, it's about this tall, and it's made out of hard mud. Sometimes the mud is covered with concrete, and I saw very few little short wooden benches with a leg on each end, maybe some angle braces, and just flat. A nice pulpit would be about like this with bricks. More often than not, it was mud, hard mud. Or you might have a wooden table that's about that tall. You'd lay stuff down on that. And that'd be, first Sunday we took communion was 2,240 people there. I told them, forgive me, that I said, we do well, Americans, to have 25 at church, maybe 30. And I said, sometimes we won't go to meeting across county to be at another meeting. Sometimes we may go once. And I said, we got gas motors. And I said, y'all walk. I have, ask yourself, have you complained? I know I have. And when I've complained about having, picture yourself, all of a sudden, you don't longer have the status you have now. Just underline status and put an asterisk by it. What is that? Picture yourself in a housing project. You may live in one. If you do, I'm not sorry for you. In a housing project, you've got running water, you've got sewer, you've got electricity, you've got a stove, and you've got a refrigerator. A normal house over there is two bricks thick, with straw on the roof, with round trees for rafters, or you might have oak made out of trusses, and if you really got going on, with a little extra money, if you happen to be a school teacher, you'll have what they call iron sheets, which is tin. And you'll see them going down the road on a bicycle with it rolled up. And they've been doing like that. On Mount Zomba, I've seen some people coming down. You picture a flat section on the back of a bicycle and see. They would be wood rigged up about like that on the back of that bicycle. It's amazing what they can do with a bicycle. We ate flame cooked goat, chicken that's like shoe leather, eggs. There's plenty to eat. I didn't lose much weight. There's no point in it. Drink bottled water. Singing the scales is the same as here. The progressions or chords are the same as here. Like you hear a 1-4-5 progression, like G, C, and D, but maybe a relative minor. So what I'm saying is, it's the same. Song leaders are like callers because they don't use notes. They'll say three or four, maybe a couple of phrases, which is serves to kit and tell them the song. And for those that may not know, which they probably do, because that songbook I think has been in use since 1910, so they probably, many of them probably have that book memorized. So it's in Chichewa with no notes. And so he's kind of a caller, he calls it out. I speak to Chiwa. We used interpreters. He'll say a couple of phrases or sentences, and then he'll repeat it. I tell you what it does. It gives you time. You think, now, what I'm going to say about that verse? Well, it takes him 3 cents. You know, I mean, it's nice to have that kind of delay. They ask questions in some places. What'd you eat this morning before you left? Something you like, wasn't it? You see on the side of the road over there, Ron's seen it. And I sound like a broken record, but I mean, if you get a chance to go, please do. You'll be changed. You'll see 4 or 5 mice on a stick for sale. Now, we have question and answer sessions here. They asked, is it clean to eat a mouse? And yes, it is, because Acts 10 says everything is clean. Their food keeps them alive. You know, I don't know the amino acid content of semen, peas, and chicken, but they're doing all right on it. We give them hope when we go. I told them, I said, you are not a lazy people. I said, you work hard. I said, I'm going to tell you your story when I go home. And I said, we'll try to help you the best we can. And they evolved. I said, now we can't help everybody with every need, but we'll do what we can. And I'll end with this. There was one gentleman that he had a long, kind of hollow look on his face, and he come from Mozambique. And I think I have this right. He watched Danny until he wrote what he needed into that notebook. Danny said, well, I'll just take it. Just put it in. He said, no, it can fall out. That's how desperate they are for help. We bought, with church money, 500 Bibles, 300 songbooks. They need songbooks and Bibles. The men will have Bibles and a songbook or two. The women usually don't. Is that your experience? They need sheets for the...
That's per congregation, not per man.
Right, per congregation.
1 or 2 Bibles and 2 or 3 songbooks.
Right, per congregation. They need... You know, I did see one straw roof with plastic under it, but that's not going to last. They need those 10 sheets. They really do. And I don't know, for like $7-$8 in American currency a piece.
About like London.
I mean, they roll up, and every one of them's got holes in them. They've probably been used before. They need those so that the services won't be interrupted, because when the water comes, it ruins buildings. We saw one with a large crack in the wall. We saw another truss that had come loose from the wall. They want food, and they need teaching. They need tracks. Danny's talking about doing a 40-foot container, and the truck that we have over there is going to slap out. And he's talking about putting, because it's cheaper than a double cab, about getting it over there. Talking about getting a single cab with benches in the back and a camper on it. And it'd be 40-foot container, then they're going to fill it in from there. They need glasses. As an old man that was so pitiful, his shoes was wore out, he couldn't see nothing hardly. And we couldn't help him. I even offered him a pair of mine. Not that I'm nothing or nobody. I didn't say that for attention. You know, I'm like Ron. I'm the 400. He talked about that I'm the 490-a-day guy. But they need help. They need songbooks, Bibles. They need iron sheets, and they need food. They like to eat in the SEMA. You know, what would you want to eat if you was hungry? So your money is being spent like it's supposed to be. And it's going to be an unending because they're trying to improve this country, but it is a tribal country still. And Americans are not going to go over there and change them. They're not going to quit having the amounts of kids they do. And they're not going to give up their village chiefs. And they don't want to give up what they have for a democracy. They want a benevolent dictator. That's just the way they are, and they ain't going to change. So as far as us going over there, I told them, I said, I'm not here to change you. I said, I'm here for you to change me. So that's all I have. Ron, I wish you had kept that off with something. If I made you feel guilty, so be it. We have way too much, and we complain way too much. You know, that's just one fat boy, one afternoon, one opinion. Thank you.
The only thing I would add to that is that when we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we always identify with Lazarus, and we always think, oh, we're the poor people, you know. And we are not, actually. We are the rich man. And so we need to make sure that we are helping the beggars, and we're helping the people that we can. And you know, whether it's Africa or Manila or, you know, Gadsden, it doesn't matter. We need to be helping somebody because we have the ability to help. You know, we say we're poor, we say we're this, we say we're that. We're not. You know, I told a group of guys over there one time, I said, guys, by American standards, I'm dirt poor. And I am. I drive a 20-year-old van, and, you know, I'm tickled to death if I can get one in the same decade, you know, model year. And, you know, living old double wide, and I ain't never had hardly anything. I am. I'm poor by American standards, but they laughed at me. They said, you got to be kidding, man. You're rich beyond our wildest dreams. And I am, compared to them. So we just need to understand that of whom much is given, much will be required. And that's the one thing that I try to dictate in my life, is that I've been given a lot, and God obviously wants me to do something with it. And that's, we can be busy. You know, a lot of people say, well, why you want to send it to Africa? Well, that's fine. Don't. Put it to God's work. So put it to God, because you've been blessed by God, and He'll bless you again, and He'll bless you more. And you know that old saying, you can't outgive God. That's the truth. He owns everybody. So you can give and still have plenty. And I feel real certain God will make all grace abound, so we'll have all sufficiency in all things to every good work. It's what He says He's worth. We believe, and that's what what the brother said in Pell City last night. We all believe baptism. Well, let's believe the rest of it too, because it says, you know, that's the Word of God. So we need to put it to it, put our faith to the test, put our faith to work, to be like the Good Samaritan. I mean, we read these stories all the time, and we always think we're the pitiful one, and I'm going to tell you, we're not.
We are not.
We're not the pitiful one. We're the rich ones going by, wagging our heads at them. So we need to watch. I'm just exhorting you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just exhorting you to good works.
Feel bad.